The reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm starting at verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honour the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sin in his body on the cross, so we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Now let's pray for David as he comes to speak to us. Thank you, Lord, for David and his wisdom as he interprets the word for us. Pour out your blessings upon him. Holy Spirit, fill him afresh with confidence in his message and enthusiasm for you. And Father, give us ears to hear and hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Suzanne and Dan and Tim and the band. What a joy it is to worship God together. You know, last week we were looking at this theme on the passage just before the one that Suzanne's read for us about what it is to live strangely beautiful lives. That is our calling as those who follow Jesus. And there's something very beautiful in our passage that we want to look at this morning. In verse 16, it says this: live as free people. That theme of freedom and our title this morning is Regaining Our Freedom is such a wonderful, beautiful theme. Our city, our world wants freedom. But the thing is that freedom is often one of those words which is used very differently in how it is unpacked in the Bible as to how it is unpacked in our culture. Our culture sees freedom as a chance to do whatever you want. How different from that wonderful video that Amanda was showing us where Jesus used his freedom to do good and to serve others. And in fact, that verse 16 at the heart of our passage doesn't just start with saying live as free people. It ends with saying live as God's slaves. It is amazing how this passage brings together these themes of freedom, but also what it is to serve, to even submit. How do you hold those two things together? Well, that's what I want us to explore this morning. And as we come into what is our first ever, certainly, I think for all of us listening here and pretty much for everyone around the world, our first ever Christmas in a global pandemic, then, you know, I really believe this passage is going to help us as we try and understand it and apply it to our lives. I think it's going to help us this Christmas, whatever government restrictions are. I think it will help us in our work situations, which are also very at this time. It helps us in our relationships. And we see Peter goes on in chapter 3 to apply these same principles into that. It will help us be, as this whole series has been looking at, be the church without walls, know how to live these strangely beautiful lives in the places and situations that God has put us, that we might be those beacons of light for him. And so I want to talk this morning about this theme of freedom by first looking at something that we may not always naturally think of as beautiful, but it's this. I want to talk about submission. Submission is strangely beautiful. Submission is strangely beautiful. Our passage starts like this in verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every or human authority. Now, we instinctively have a problem with this on all kinds of levels. Almost each part of that little phrase we struggle with. We don't naturally like the word submit. We don't like the word authority. And we certainly don't like this kind of concept of submitting to every human authority. Surely, Paul, Peter, that's a kind of overstatement in your letter to say every human authority. But let's pause for a moment. Because right at the heart of this phrase, it says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. And let's think about God rather than just ourselves. And let's consider that our maker and savior, the one who made everything, may actually have a bigger purpose for you and I. That there may be things that he wants us to do, which might not always make sense to us and we might not fully understand, but actually are for our good and the good of others, and ultimately for his glory too. You know, there's a film that is an old film, but used to enjoy it when I was younger, called Karate Kid. And in this film, there's this young guy who wants to learn karate, and he goes to a kind of great guy who's brilliant at karate called Mr. Miyagi. And he says, you know, I want to train with you. And Mr. Miyagi says he'll do that. And he gets him scrubbing cars, a very famous scene where he just endlessly seems to be kind of wax on and wax off on this car. And he thinks, what on earth am I doing? I'm just kind of slaving away here. And then Mr. Miyagi shows him that actually what he's been learning has been actually for his good, for the development of his karate. Now, God is so much wiser and greater than Mr. Miyagi. And he is able to take and use the situations in our lives and use them for our good and the good of others. And so we need to come back to God if we're to really understand what freedom is and understand this word submit. You know, in our world, when we push God away, we sometimes think we're free, but actually we are all slaves to something. And in our lives, when we push God away, so often what we end up becoming slaves to is greed, slaves to fear, slaves to lust, slaves to bitterness, slaves, if you like, it could be summed up to slaves to sin and selfishness. And those things are massively destructive in our own lives and in the lives of others. Maybe you can relate to something of that in your own life. And yet, as we were singing earlier about God's amazing love, where he comes to set us free, actually Jesus is the one, as we relate to him, as we discover that God's kingdom is the place where we discover freedom, then we discover that it's only in relationship to God and a right relationship with God that we can truly be free. One of the songs we sung earlier was by a band called Wren Collective, and they have another song where there's a little phrase where it says this: it's only in surrender that I'm truly free. It's only as I surrender to God, as I submit to his authority, that actually I discover that this is how I was meant to live. This is what it is to be free and eternally secure, and to know I'm loved, and know that the one I'm coming under his authority, it wants my good. And so we can come to this word submit and not see it as a dirty word, but it is a beautiful word, because it's actually through submitting to God that we have freedom. And so when we see in our world places where, you know, kids respect and submit to their parents, it actually is a beautiful thing. When you're in a class and that's not the case, when you have a teacher and there's just chaos in the classroom because the kids don't respect the teacher, it isn't a kind of great thing when everyone's kind of running wild. No, it's actually a beautiful thing when there is submission and respect for those in authority. The same is true in nations when there's kind of anarchy. It's not good for anyone. But when actually people respect those in authority, it's a beautiful thing, even when that is difficult. And so often, as we have all these different restrictions, it's challenging time for so many of us. What does it look like for us to submit? Well, just asked a few people to share something of how they're trying to live out their faith in the workplace at the moment, because this passage goes on to talk about even in our workplaces submitting, and sometimes that's even submitting to the government regulations. And Katie Ridgway, who is a vice principal, a deputy head in one of the secondary schools locally, she's just going to share about her faith in her workplace at this time. Thanks, Katie.
How is faith helping me to lead a school in the middle of a global pandemic? Well, there is a question. And many of you will know in your own workplaces that we're getting lots of guidance that's changing all of the time. And that guidance is there and it's in place to keep people safe. And implementing that, as frustrating as it is one of my roles. And actually is to make sure that we are doing the loving thing and that we are prioritising safety. And I think as a leader, I'm just trying to make sure that using my faith in God and God's spirit within me to demonstrate in quite a tricky environment some of those fruits of the spirit, making sure that our staff and our young people find this school a place where they can be happy, where they can be joyful, where it's a place of peace and refuge and safety, and where we respond to each other in love, and we look for ways of trying to alleviate some of the anxieties that are surrounding our young people at this time.
Thanks, Katie. Peter writes, submit yourselves to the Lord, sake to every human authority, whether it's the emperor as the supreme authority or the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that it, by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free people. But what about when the authorities over us aren't doing what is good, but when they are bad authorities? What happens when we are under a bad ruler or authority figure? Well, is it still good to submit then? Well, Peter was writing this in the context of Imperial Rome. I don't know what your view is of our current government. I know there's lots that I have issues with about how they sometimes do things, but I know that they're better than Imperial Rome. Depending on how you date 1 Peter, it was either Claudius, Emperor Claudius, or the Emperor Nero. Both were really awful, wicked men in many ways. And, you know, Peter still writes and says there is something good about submitting to authority, not because the authority is good, but because there's something beautiful in submission. And actually, there's something in exercising our freedom, not because we must, and certainly not in a kind of worship of authority, because government or things like that. Peter himself would draw a very clear line at that, and one day would be executed for not just bowing down to the authority of Rome, but keeping Jesus as Lord. But because he put Christ first, he then chose to submit in many ways to the authority around him. And in fact, that was a deeply subversive act. Karen Jobin, her wonderful commentary on 1 Peter, talks about how the call to follow the way of Christ, the way of freedom, to serve and even submit and suffer, has in the long run proved a much more effective way in changing unjust political and economic structures. And she quotes then a commentator called Wolf, who says this in his work on 1 Peter. He says, allegiance to a crucified Christ is an eminently political act that subverts a politics of dominion at its very core. You see, there's something about the way we respond to authority which actually enables us to use our freedom, not as a cover up for evil, but as it goes on, to be slaves of God, to show proper respect, verse 17, to everyone, to love the church, the family of God, to fear God, and to honor even the emperor. And that doesn't mean that our respect of authority doesn't mean we always agree with them. There is actually a really important place for even disagreeing with those who are an authority over, but to do that respectfully. Believe you me, there are many who disagree disrespectfully. Let's not be like that. But actually, when we disengage with politics or with those in authority over us, that's actually disrespectful. There's something that we need to learn to do, which is how to disagree, but to do it respectfully. We don't often have good models of that, whether in government or even in the workplace, as Peter is going to go on and write about. But here's Simon just sharing something of his testimony in the workplace, which captures something of this.
My name is Simon, and I manage a pharmacy service for an NHS trust. A few years ago, my boss came up to me and said, "Simon, I think your service is too expensive, and I want you to look at outsourcing it." Well, that would mean that many of my team would lose their jobs. So I wasn't thrilled about the idea, and I was concerned for the team. But I went about the task, I prayed about it, and I wrote a report for my boss and for the leadership team about the future of pharmacy. Well, in that report, I was actually able to show that the pharmacy team and the service was actually really good value for money and a much better option than outsourcing. So much so that the leadership team actually invested in us further. And as for my boss, well, I have a new one now.
Thanks, Simon. A great picture of respectfully disagreeing with those in authority over you. And, you know, Peter goes on and applies this not just to how we deal with governments, but the workplace. And then on into chapter 3, he calls wives, respect your husbands, and husbands, respect your wives. And it's important to just highlight here that this call to submit does not excuse abusive bosses or spouses. We need to be those who stand up against those things. In fact, even in our newspapers this week, there's been talk of this the ugly situation where bullying occurs in the workplace. You know, we need to be those, as we were hearing last week, who speak up against injustice. And if you are facing an abusive situation at the moment in your work or in your home, please do seek help and advice. Do please speak out to someone and talk to them about it. And I've been praying for you as I've been preparing this talk. But, you know, as we are those who speak out about injustice, as we are those who look to follow the way of Christ, which has this high view of those in authority over us, as it calls us to respect them, you know, we will still sometimes face harsh treatment and even unjust suffering. And that is what Peter goes on to look at in verse 18 and following. He kind of looks and he says, "Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect." He's encouraging even those in the Greco-Roman world who maybe had harsh bosses to be those who would respond in the way of Christ, like Peter, who saw Jesus washing not just the disciples' feet around him, but his own feet, as he calls us to be those who express that freedom that we have in Christ to do good and to serve others. But, you know, submission is a beautiful thing, but it's a hard thing. And it's hard because it involves suffering so often. So how do we cope with the suffering that submission and serving others so often brings? Well, that's the second and last thing I want to briefly talk about. You see, suffering is strangely powerful. In our world, slavery is a big, massive problem that's been there ever since the time of Peter. The treatment of slaves over the years in the centuries has often been horrendous, and the abolition of slavery, which was spearheaded by Christian men and women, was a wonderful thing. But even after the abolition of slavery, it has not stopped slavery in our world so many times in hidden places, even in our own nation today. And in fact, many jobs can feel like they are places of daily suffering and intimidation by others. You know, we live in a world where evil still abounds, where even those who try to do good get treated harshly and unjustly. And so what does Peter do? What does he help us with in our situations like that? Well, he calls us, verse 19 and 20, to recognize that God commends those who bear up under unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. And he says, look, there's a distinction you need to make here in verse 20, that there's sometimes suffering that comes because we do wrong. But much of the suffering in our world is not anything to do with the things we've done, but to do with the sin of others and the fallenness in our world. And Peter calls us to look to Christ, to look to the one who hasn't just suffered for us, but has called us to suffer with him. Look what it says in verse 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Peter, as he helps us to live these free lives that are willing to do good and serve others, willing even to submit to authority, even when that's unjust authority, and to suffer under it, he points us to Christ, to the crucifixion of Jesus, which he was actually there as an eyewitness of. And as he unpacks this in verse 21 and the verses following, Peter has in mind the amazing words of Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament. I don't have time to draw out all the amazing comparisons that are there, but Peter kind of looks at the crucifixion, remembering this picture of the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. He starts in verse 22 by saying this, that Jesus committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. You know, he talks about how Jesus responded verbally. You know, when we're often treated unjustly, often we can end up sinning by what we say. We slander others or gossip about them. I know I've done that in the past and it is wrong. Jesus didn't do that. Neither, verse 23, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. And when he suffered, he made no threats. Again, it's so easy to do that, but Jesus didn't. He entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Jesus didn't let the sin of others lead him to sin. And the sin of others is never an excuse for you and I to sin. And as we look to Jesus, what we see is not a kind of passive resignation in the face of suffering. Karen Joby, again, really helpfully writes this. She says, this was not the silence of passive resignation, but of patient confidence in God. This is a confidence in God, our Father, that led Jesus onto the cross. And we read in verse 24 that he, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the cross. He paid the penalty for my sin and yours. That's what it means to bear the sin of another, to take the punishment for my sin and for yours. You see, sin is at the root of all injustice and oppression in our world. All suffering and pain has its root problem in sin. And Jesus' death deals with that problem of sin. Jesus' death comes and brings freedom for those who were slaves to sin. So that Peter says, look, now you can die to sin and live for righteousness. Let's not keep sinning, but let's turn from that repenting and turning and following this way of Jesus. Let us come to this one who's the shepherd of our souls, this wonderful doctor who brings healing even now, but ultimately when he comes back and takes us to be with him forever. This one who is a doctor who's strangely beautiful, that his suffering leads so powerfully to the healing and freedom of others. You know, often when you go to the doctor, there's a sickness that you have, and yet Jesus, as our doctor, he takes the sickness that we have upon himself, and he even takes the bill, and he gives us this healing and freedom completely. He is, as our whole series in 1 Peter started, as Peter wrote right at the beginning of his letter, he is our living hope. He is the one this winter, whatever you and I are going through, we can look to him, the one who died and rose again, the one who even now wants to invite you, come to him, come and experience his help and his healing and his hope. Come and let him free you so that you can regain your freedom in whatever you're going through, to live those lives of freedom that do good and serve others, that are willing to choose to submit and even endure suffering because our eyes are on him. So let's come to Christ and let's follow him, even when he calls us to, as it were, step out into things we think, God, I don't know how I can do this. He will help us. I'd love to pray for us as we come and respond. Let's bow our heads and invite this Jesus and respond to him in prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, our Savior and Shepherd, we come to you for healing and help this morning. We want to live as free people, free to do good and to serve others, to be willing to submit and even to suffer as we look to you and follow you. Lord, forgive us our sin, where our actions have caused others to suffer, and be with our brothers and sisters who today are enduring great suffering. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.